You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
And leave the rest in the world to others. You know, feed one. Yeah. Take care of one.
Yeah. And I think that this is the ongoing challenge of the Christian life. It's, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit today. I want to listen to the Spirit as the Spirit leads me and guides me. And if the Spirit tells me, I want you to go and minister to that person right now, will I have the courage and will I make the time to do what the Lord is calling me to do? And I think that's exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
We need to follow the Spirit. And
it's very hard when you're in the throes of a depression. It's very hard to remember this, but it says, give on, I think it's in the last book of the Old Testament. It says, give unto others, and your light will rise out of the darkness like the noonday sun.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you're down and out. Go to the cancer ward in the hospital. Go see some kids at the orphanage. Or go whatever it is. You're go feed some hungry people. Or go volunteer your time at the Source making meals or our Father's soup kitchen or something. Or go to the Salvation Army and work. But when you're in the throes of depression, even for me, if I'm down, it's like, you know, I don't want to go do that. You know, so it's very hard when you're low to go. Maybe that'd be a good saying. When you're low, go.
Go.
Go yeah. Help somebody.
Yeah. Because there's something, I think there's, obviously you're doing the Lord's work when you step out in faith and you yeah. serve other people. And invariably, I found in my own life, you know, when I've been in those periods of being down or depressed or whatever, mm-hmm. when you step out in faith and you simply serve other people, oftentimes that it really makes you feel good.
It really does, yeah. And, giving dignity before it's earned.
Yeah, just loving other people, being the hands and feet of Jesus. Serving others.
I'm writing this down. When you feel
low, go.
Go.
He's going to write a song on it. It's good.
Or something.
I like it.
Maybe put it on my new website there, you know, with my art. The whole thing is about go. If you're feeling low, go.
Yeah.
Dignity.
Yeah, and I think.
Hospitality.
Yes, we started talking about the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, and my own sense of this thing. So it was rising, rising, rising. It's now plateaued off, and my sense is it's going to then fall because you're going to see a great revival take place. You're going to see people hungering for the truth.
Yeah.
Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
Kristen.
And they're going to come to Jesus.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I wanted to make sure we knew our timing. Okay, yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Say that again.
Yeah. No, I think the nuns, that portion in the demographic that are answering that I have no religious affiliation, I think that number is going to fall. I think it's going to become less and less as more and more people affiliate directly.
Well, statistically,
I'm a Christian.
It is already doing that, right?
Yeah. Well, it's plateaued at this point.
Okay.
Right. So now I believe it's going to start falling as more and more people begin to self-identify.
They take polls or something?
Pew Research. Yeah, so they will poll however many, 1,400, 1,500 Americans, and they'll ask them these questions. And they've got market surveys down pretty well so that they know, if we interview 1,500 people, we're going to get a pretty good sense.
Can you imagine, where do you work? Well, I work for Pew. Ooh, that stinks.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's pew? Oh, I see, the pew you sit in. Yes,
yeah,
at church.
Yeah, and I don't know if we necessarily have time to discuss it today. But one of the things that they found in the research is that fathers have a particularly strong influence over the spiritual development over their children.
Well, wait a second. I was told in the Bible it says the number one job of the male, the father, is not the income. It's to be the priest of the household.
Yeah.
And how will a godly man, I have to say in this case, I think about the old Jewish guy. He treats the wife as revered in the Jewish home. You know, with the Hasidic Jews, if you're married and you have like three kids, Your wife dies. The kids can stay for a month, but after that, they're taken out of your house by the group or the temple, whatever, until you have another female presence within the house, because children are to be around the presence of a female. And, you know, my mother always taught me, she said, the woman is the center of the house. She's the heart of the house. And it's true.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, you give a woman seed, she gives you children. You give a woman a house, she makes it a home. I mean, you know, so anyway.
But in fairness,
yes,
this is what the survey seemed to be indicating.
That
as important as the mother's faith is,
the father spiritually,
the spiritual leadership of the father has a particularly strong influence over the spiritual connections of the children.
Well, you know, I think that we have a feminized society here. But what has happened is men abdicated the throne of authority. Now, the throne of authority doesn't mean you say, you shall submit to me. Submission comes from the other individual. The thing is to be in service, to be the priest of your household, which means that's the number one God is expecting you to do. And you will be required to stand before the Lord and give an accounting. Did you spiritually, you know, are you neglecting your children? No one ever brought me to church when I was a kid.
Right.
I didn't even know what Easter was till I was like 29 and got born again.
Yeah,
I thought it was about Easter baskets and bunnies and Easter eggs, you know.
Yeah, so Ephesians 6:5 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger.
What does that mean?
But bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So, and I was laughing as I was with a men's group this morning. We were talking about this, and I said, you know, as my wife and I are raising our own children in the faith, of course, there along the way, we tried to help them to memorize certain Bible verses along the way. Our children seemingly had no problem memorizing this particular verse.
Which one?
Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, right? And so they would love to quote that one to me, you know, as I
quoted
was...
that to the man upstairs, you know.
Yeah, because, the children, they're smart, and they figure it out. And for whatever reason, was I provoking them to anger, or were they simply quoting that verse because they wanted to, Dad, you can stop now.
They wanted to muzzle you, or...
Yeah, yeah, and you're not sure, but...
Well, when is enough enough?
Well, this is the whole thing. I mean, so we're talking now about the role of dads, the role of fathers.
And there's no manual out there except the Bible, and people tend to neglect the Bible.
Yeah, and as we were talking about it this morning, fathering is as much art as it is science, right?
So what does that mean?
Well, my sense is that, yes, the Lord gives us some clear direction in
the
Bible.
That's the science.
Right, that's the science part of it. But the art is, how are you going to apply that on a daily basis with your children? In other words, you want them to grow in the knowledge and wisdom of the Lord, but you don't want to provoke them to anger. And so there's a certain line there that you're treading with them. You want to continue to encourage them and inspire them. And yet, any child knows that if my dad just keeps hounding me about the Bible and hounding me about church, and I think to some extent, many dads, and I would say moms, have in essence have backed off from being very proactive with their children in terms of raising them in the faith because they're concerned that their children, they're going to turn off their children from the faith.
And what I've been told is because they want to be friends with their children, you can't be friends with your children. You have to, they need an adult. They need someone to draw the line, the boundaries.
Yeah, and I'll give you one example. Like right now, we know that sports for children in America is huge.
Yeah.
Like, they have all kinds of sports opportunities, whether it's gymnastics or soccer or baseball or football. Fill in the blank. I mean, there's just almost countless opportunities for kids to be involved in athletics. And, of course, on the surface of it and in reality, athletics is a very positive and healthy thing.
You learn
for
teamwork,
kids to be involved in.
You're not, there's no I in team.
Exactly. But here's the thing.
Wow.
When does church meet? Church meets, generally speaking, on Sunday morning. Hmm. Guess when a lot of the kids' athletic contests and everything take place? They happen a lot of times on Saturday and Sunday mornings.
Well, it shouldn't happen on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoons, but they shouldn't conflict with, you know. I mean, in our very town here, we have the most famous pitcher of all times, who is the Jewish guy who was, he wouldn't play the Yom Kippur, and they won the series for the Dodgers.
Oh, is that Sandy Koufax?
Yeah, Sandy Koufax. He lives here, you know.
How about that? Well, I knew he lived in here, and I had a sense, I thought I knew that he was Jewish, but I never heard the story about him saying, I won't play on Yom Kippur.
That's right. That's why he became, when my friend Howie Schaefer came down, and a Jewish kid that became my friend, you know, one in our early 20s, and taught me the ins and outs of the advertising business. So Howie comes down here, and I happened to meet with a famous author that day. And then I happened to meet with a famous congressman. Remember the congressman who won the, he had been a runner in the Olympics and won from running? Yeah. Now, here's the true story.
Eric Little.
Nope, that's not Eric Little. It's another one. I forget his name. But anyway, he used to wet his bed. And let this be for people. This is a private matter. But he lets it out. He wet his bed. So he would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, gather his sheets, and run to the laundromat and bring them back so he wouldn't be embarrassed in front of his own family.
Okay.
Well, at 18 or 19, he won the Olympics. And it's quite a story. Then later on, he became a congressman. But anyway, so he was in town that day. The famous author, Debbie Maycomer, was there. We're up at J.I. having lunch with a group of people. And then we go to the Ocean Grill that night, and there's Sandy Koufax. Well, of course, my friend Howie, he goes up to Sandy Koufax. We're standing there talking to him, and he goes, you're in my children's, you know, in the history books of the Jews, you know, that you wouldn't play Yom Kippur and still won the World Series, you know, that one day wouldn't play. And whatever it was, whatever the situation, I forget. But and then Howie looks at me later on over the table at Ocean Grill and goes, is every day like this for you? I wish it were.
Yeah.
But here is the man who is really considered probably the greatest pitcher of all history, but he put God above self.
Right. Yeah. And this is kind
of... Look at Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
Look at that guy.
Right.
You should hear the miraculous stories of this guy.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for a new day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting. It's a new day.
Darkness I leave for a place I've never seen.